The title of today's message is Partnership Theology. You know, the former CEO of the Walt Disney Corporation, Michael Eisner, wrote a book called Working Together, Why Great Partnerships Succeed. And so why is it that sometimes you can take two or more people, two or more organizations, add them together, and you get a more successful result than either would have achieved working alone? That's just the way it is. Two people, two organizations or more, come together, they build off one another, and they create something better. They create a legacy together in concert with one another. What I'd like to do is for you to think in terms of partnerships here for a moment. I'm going to put a few partnerships up here on the screen. You'll see these. You may recognize a few of them. Here's the first one. It's the partnership between Lennon and McCartney, John Lennon and Paul McCartney. They met when Lennon was 17, McCartney was 15, at a church party in Liverpool, England. I've been to the spot where they met. There's a quote from Lennon saying, "This is where it all started. It all started to move from here." Lennon was a fabulous musician in his own right, but he said when he met McCartney, who was not only a great vocalist, but also obviously became a fantastic songwriter, and he was also a wonderful multi-instrumentalist. Great on keyboards, fantastic on guitar, a wonderful bassist. What a lot of people don't realize is McCartney was also a very accomplished drummer. In fact, one time John Lennon was asked, "Is Ringo the best drummer in rock and roll?" And John Lennon replied, "Ringo's not even the best drummer in the Beatles." But McCartney and Lennon, as talented as they were individually, they come together and they change modern music. How about this next partnership? Two brothers, Wilbur and Orville Wright, they got their start fixing bicycles, but in 1903, they developed the three-axis controls that made flying fixed-wing aircraft possible, and we have a different world because of it. Third partnership, Larry Page and Sergey Brin, they gave us Google. They met when they were graduate students at Stanford University. Brin gave Page a tour of the campus. They began developing a search engine as a research project, and that research project became Google. They were experimenting with search algorithms, and the world's information and the way we're all able to have access to it has changed. The power of partnerships. And here's one more incredible partnership. Oh, yeah. I mean, it just, you know, it's self-explanatory, the power of this particular partnership. Well, the Bible talks about partnerships, and I'm going to take you to the book of Philippians, which was written to the church in Philippi, which is a city located in northeastern Greece. Now, listen carefully. The Apostle Paul planted that church. He loved that church. They loved him. And when he writes Philippians, he's writing to a church with whom he has a 12-year relationship. He didn't spend 12 consecutive years there, but they had a 12-year relationship. Very warm relationship. 16 times in the book of Philippians, you'll find the word joy or rejoicing. It's loaded with partnership theology, partnership terminology. Let's start reading out of Philippians 4. "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We've all heard that. It's very important. And then he says, "Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in the giving and receiving except you only." In other words, there had been a financial partnership between Philippi and Paul. What did that look like? I don't know. Did they have an annual Let's Give to Paul Day? I don't know. Did they have a line item in their budget? Paul. I don't know. But they had a relationship in an ongoing way where in Philippi, and with the work of this missionary apostle Paul, there was a connection, there was a fantastic partnership. Partnership language is throughout Philippians. We talk about it today. Governments form partnerships. Businesses form coalitions. And the idea is that we can do more together than we can alone. Two are better than one. There's strength in numbers. He says, we have entered into a partnership with one another. And he said, in essence, he'll go on and he'll say in the next verse, even in Thessalonica, you sent help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. He says, you know what? You gave to me financially. You supported me. You were in partnership with me. And because of that, we were able to get things done. Ah. If you stop here, though, you're going to miss the point, or one of the main points of partnership theology. Because what Paul will emphasize is not a two-way partnership, but a three-way partnership. He will say, look, this is not a 501(c) thing where, you know, you decided that you'd send, you know, part of your budget to me and, okay, you're supporting 10% of my budget or 15% of my salary. No. God's involved here. God's working through you. God's working through me. God's working through us. And together, we're kneeling at the foot of the cross. We're kneeling together at the purposes of the kingdom of God. And God is at work in and through this partnership. Notice what he says in chapter 1. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 4, I'm well supplied, he says, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Hear what he says? God is in this partnership. And God has started a work among us and between us, and he will see it through. And whatever giving you give to me, it's not like, well, you know, it's not just a budget item. He calls it a fragrant sacrifice to God that God notices and pays attention to and rewards and honors. We have a partnership, he says, but it's not a two-way partnership. It's a three-way partnership. Now, like Paul and the Philippians, as a church, we have partnerships. We have missionaries and mission works where we share with them in action. Let me put a map up here on the screen. This map highlights our 5 international mission works. Now, let me underscore that. These are our 5 primary international mission works. We do a ton of work domestically. We give a lot of money away domestically. In other words, this is not including Lifeline Chaplaincy, Arms of Hope, Impact Church, Second Mile Ministry, Friends Speak Ministry, Holly Elementary, Four Corners, Hearts. It's not including all that's done domestically, and it's not including all the one-time gifts that we may give away during the course of the year. These are sustainable, ongoing, international mission works supported by our church. For example, in Nepal, Bharatnagar, Nepal. It simply means big city. It's the 4th largest city in Nepal. Cucuta, Colombia, population 850,000 on the border of Venezuela. Tamazo, Haiti, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. San Marcos, Honduras, the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Mbarara, Uganda. Mbarara is the second largest city in Uganda. This has been our primary mission work for the last 20 years. And when we first sent a mission team there, not much going on in this region. Now there are 17 healthy churches, and we praise God for that. Now, I'm telling you this, but what I want you to do, I want you to see and hear a little bit. So I know you don't have any popcorn with you, but just pay it close attention. Turn your attention to the video screens and take a look at what God is doing through these partnerships, okay?
In our 2019 international mission work, we expect to start new churches, baptize the unreached, and train indigenous leaders. Soon, we will see our 5 targeted international areas with biblically healthy, multiplying churches, redeeming lives, and transforming communities. In Mbarara, Uganda, Richard Kuyamba has been recognized as the overall leader for the 17 Ankole churches. In his nearly 2 decades as a follower of Christ, Richard is an effective communicator and well-trusted by the leaders in both the town and the villages. The Mbarara Town Church appointed longtime member Bob Moses to be an associate minister to Pastor Noaway. Bob is a serious Bible student whose strengths in preaching and teaching will serve him well as he becomes an instrumental leader for the future of this church. Bob's wife, Doreen, is a strong prayer warrior and respected worship leader for the town church. This past year, we have seen God do amazing things in Mbarara, Uganda. 2018 has been a year of leadership development for the churches we partner, and those churches are raising up leaders, sending out missionaries, and baptizing new believers. We've seen the churches start new Bible study groups and impact their communities. In San Marcos, Honduras, there is a powerful impact every time First Colony and Foster Creek sponsor a latrine project for a family. In the 2 years that we have supported the building of latrines in San Marcos, Honduras, the local health clinic has seen the monthly number of patients drop from 50 to 15. For every latrine project, there is a ripple effect in the community as jobs are created and locally sourced materials are used. The community comes together and relationships are formed, but most importantly, people are hearing the gospel and coming to know Christ. In Cúcuta, Colombia, Pedro Lozano and his family are one of many that have been forever impacted by our church in Cúcuta. Like many Venezuelans, Pedro arrived in Cúcuta looking for a better quality of life after much suffering in Venezuela. He heard about the Cúcuta Church of Christ from a fellow Christian, and the church has been a great support to Pedro and his family. He has been a part of the discipleship program and is now involved in many different ministries for the worship service. This past year in Cúcuta, Colombia, we have seen church growth and the start of the new Help and Hope Center serving 40 kids. We've seen baptisms, new small groups, Bible studies, as well as marriage and discipleship training. We have seen leaders work together and impact 12,000 people in 60 Venezuelan churches. In Tamazo, Haiti, we have an exciting new partnership supporting Rulit Religieux, the new spiritual development trainer for the Tamazo Hope Center. Rulit provides spiritual care for the church, the school, and the orphanage. This year, they have had 12 people baptized and 30 others from the community that are now attending regularly. There are now over 200 people attending church each Sunday. Rulit helped lead the Hope for Haiti's Children's Christian Leaders Youth Camp with 172 teens, where 8 were baptized. He has also started a Sunday afternoon sports and games time for kids and teens, an intentional outreach program to connect with the community. First Colony is helping put in a soccer field that will draw kids from all around Tamazo. Many Tamazo church members are illiterate, so First Colony Church of Christ provided Haitian Creole audio Bibles. Rulit will use these audio Bibles for leaders during the week to prepare for Bible class, and members can listen to Bible stories with their families. In Bharatnagar, Nepal, we partner with an organization called Kingdom Investment Nepal.
KI Nepal envisions Nepal as a country that is free from the trafficking of girls, accepts and respects the trafficking victims, and values the teachings of Christ more than anything earthly. Janu is a 23-year-old girl who, due to poverty, was not able to go to high school, but rather was forced to do whatever she could to support her family. She was enticed by a man who promised good employment in India, and at the Bharatnagar border, KI Nepal personnel counseled her about the dangers of human trafficking, and she was convinced not to continue. KI Nepal took her in and provided her with a safe place to live, where she also took leadership development classes. Janu's leadership led to the Santaleswar Women's Group being formed. 22 women and girls are enrolled and are being trained and mobilized to combat human trafficking and gender-based violence. Janu is serving at church and enjoys sharing the gospel in the community as a messenger of truth. Funding for the Bharatnagar border station will give us the opportunity to rescue girls from human trafficking and enable us to invest in their lives to seek what the Lord wants for them. While a girl is learning the vocational skills in the safe houses, she will be trained to become an effective community leader, as well as how to share her faith with peers whom she commits to train in vocational skills and disciple in her new faith. Thank you for continuing to support the international mission work at First Colony and Foster Creek.
Yeah, let me just underscore what was said right there. Thank you for continuing to support this great work. Let me put some photos up here of 9 missionaries. We together sponsor 9 missionaries in these 5 mission points. 8 of them we support in a full-time way, and partial support for the 9th one. First of all, Andrew and Amy Jo Martin in Uganda, Ronald Monica Sabino in Cucuta, Colombia, Religio in Haiti, Santos Espinoza in San Marcos, Honduras, Philip and Kalsalya Katawal in Nepal, Magali BK in Nepal, and she works with our scripture translation projects there, Ram Krishna in Nepal, Nehemiah Manju in Nepal, Bikram Gajner in Nepal. And we are blessed and we are honored to partner with these fantastic men and women in these works. And listen, and we do partner here. We invest and we visit. One of the most important things a sending, mission-minded church can do is have a relationship there. Not just send something, but have a relationship. And for example, double-digit visitors from here go to Honduras every year. Double-digit visitors from here go to Haiti every year. You saw photos up here. Bob and Cheryl Gowans in Uganda. Steve and Carol Manley, elder in our church. They were just there with Grant Wright on our staff in Uganda just a few weeks ago. We had a group of people, over 10, visiting in Colombia this year. We've got a group of 4 that will be leaving in around the first of the year. It'll be Kyle Mickelson, Derek Sewell, Drew Dasher, Grant Wright. They'll be going to Nepal. You say, oh, well, that sounds fun. Won't that be kind of a fun little vacation trip? You want to go to Nepal? Well, sure, I travel there on business. Yeah, this is not a business class trip, though. This is 2 long flights, economy. And then a nice little short flight of 4 hours. And then after that, you get duct taped to the side of a Piper Cub. And you fly through the mountains for a little bit. And it's not easy to get there. But they go because we are partnering here. Listen, like Paul and Philippi, we have partnerships. And we also commit to them being divine partnerships. You want to know what I think? I'm going to tell you what I think. I think God's at work in these works. I think God's hand is all over what's going on between First Colony and Foster Creek and these 5 mission points. And here's what I want to say to you today. You can be a part of it if you're not already. My challenge to you is don't just attend a church that practices partnership theology. Be a part. be a player, be a giver, be a generous participant in a church that's partnering with these works around the globe. John Piper, 18 years ago, was speaking in Memphis, Tennessee at a conference called the One Day Conference. It's morphed into what's called the Passion Conferences now. But 18 years ago, 2000, speaking in Memphis, Tennessee. And here's what he had to say. Listen carefully. You don't have to know a lot of things to make a big difference for the Lord in this world. But you need to know a few things, a few great things, and be willing to live and die for them. People that make a difference in this world are not people who've been mastered by a lot of things. They have been mastered by a very few things that are very, very great. But one of the really sad things that I see is that there are many of you, and as he was speaking, he said, there are hundreds of you, and you really don't want your life to make a difference. Here's what you want. You want to be liked, and you want to have a good time. You want a good job. You want a nice husband and wife. You want a nice house. You want a nice car. You want good long weekends, good vacations. You want to grow old and healthy and have a nice, easy death. Certainly not go to hell, go to heaven. But you don't give a rip whether your life counts on this earth for eternity. And that is a tragedy. He said, I know of two people who were recently on a short-term mission trip. They were killed on that short-term mission trip. This is Piper talking. He said, their brakes didn't work. They go over the side of a hill. Was that a tragedy? Yeah, it's a tragedy. In the eternal scope of things, is that a tragedy? No, it's not a tragedy. Let me tell you what a tragedy is. And he starts to read from a Reader's Digest article called Start Now and Retire Early. And he starts to read the story about Bob and Penny. And they retired early, and they moved to a sunny location, and now they play golf, they spend time on their 30-foot boat, and they collect seashells. And they have retired from ever being a part of a church, and they don't give 1 cent away. And he said, with all my heart, I plead with you, don't buy that dream. Don't buy that version of the American dream. The nice house, the nice car, the nice job, the nice family, collecting seashells as a last chapter before you stand before the Creator of the universe to give an account for your life. Look, Lord, here's my seashell collection. Look, Lord, here's my shoe collection. Was I generous? Not so much. Someday I thought I might be, but, you know. But look at my collection. And Piper said, now that's a tragedy. Don't waste your life. And then he quoted this little poem. You've heard it. Only one life, and it will soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last. And I want to say to you, younger and older, when you think about giving and investing in missions, do you see that as a drain or an interruption or an intrusion? Or do you see that as an opportunity to rejoice and partner in what God is doing? I hope you'll see it as a fantastic opportunity to generously partner with what God is doing around the world. God bless you in that.